I'm Matt Messenger. I'm an entomologist with USDA APHIS, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, and I've been with APHIS for about 6 years now, and I serve as the national program manager for the cattle fever tick eradication program, which is, I believe, the second oldest USDA animal health program in existence. So it's been around a long time. There's a lot of history with this program. And that's what I've been working on the past 6 years.
What is your agency's approach to the cattle fever tick and its and preventing its spread?
Well, and as I stated before, this is a very long-lived USDA program. Started back in 1906 with an allocation from U.S. Congress for, I believe it was $82,500, and that started the program. I think that's equivalent to about $2 million today. But the problem with cattle fever ticks and bovine babesiosis was widespread in the southern U.S. and southern California. It was a huge concern back then. There were a lot of issues with cattle moving from Texas and other southern states and moving to northern markets, and they were starting to see an effect on cattle in the northern markets. So they were dying off due to the disease. And the premise behind starting a national eradication program was to eradicate the ticks. A couple of well-known USDA scientists, excuse me, back in the late 1800s, figured out that the ticks were responsible for transmitting the disease. And so what was happening was cattle had been exposed to the disease and ticks in the southern U.S. and Texas. So these cattle were more or less, they were non-naive cattle, and they were moving them to northern markets. Cattle up there were considered naive. They'd never been exposed to the disease or the ticks. And when ticks were brought up there, the ticks carried the disease. They started biting naive cattle. They started dying off. It was a huge issue, and they determined it was around $1 billion a year in losses to the cattle industry. So it was a huge concern. And so for the past, well, since 1906 up until 1943, there was an extremely aggressive eradication program in states all the way from Virginia down to Florida, over to Texas, up to northeastern Oklahoma, and of course Southern California, where there were quarantines in place, all animals were treated, and they slowly moved this tick eradication line, which went up around basically the southeastern quadrant of the United States. They slowly pushed that line all the way down to just along the Rio Grande with Mexico. And they formed the permanent tick quarantine zone, which runs along it's about 600 miles in length and ranges anywhere from a few hundred yards from Mexico to up to about 4 miles. But it's within this zone that the national program focused in on conducting surveillance for the disease and the ticks, because we were successful in eradicating ticks from the rest of the United States. So this is the area that's been in existence since 1938, and the U.S. was officially declared free of bovine babesiosis in 1943. And what's in dealing with bovine babesiosis, of course, what's critical is eliminating the vector. And the vector is two cattle fever tick species that are one host ticks. It's a very specific to feeding on cattle. They will feed on horses and goats, and of course white-tailed deer and nilgai, but fortunately, the disease is strictly in cattle, the blood disease, babesiosis. So by eradicating the ticks, you don't have to worry about the disease spreading. And by eradicating the ticks, you also, in essence, eradicate the disease as well. So what we do nowadays is there's a force, we refer to them as mounted patrol inspectors, excuse me, in Texas, and they're also known as tick riders, and they patrol the Rio Grande along river trails looking for stray or smuggled Mexican livestock, and they inspect them for ticks and other diseases as well, and quarantine those animals. And at the same time, there's other, when we do have a tick outbreak or a tick finding within the permanent quarantine zone, then we go in there and aggressively, systematically inspect and treat all the animals. And also there's a restriction on movement from animals out of this permanent quarantine zone. They have to be inspected and treated and must be declared tick-free before those animals are able to move to other parts of Texas. And the herd census in that area, it has been dropping, but we're really only talking about anywhere from 10 to 12,000 head of cattle within this permanent quarantine zone, which runs from Valverde County in Texas all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico and Cameron County.
Okay, now, so it sounds like there's been, in the past, some very aggressive measures to try to get rid of the tick. So what are the chances, and what we've been talking about here just lately, how is this affecting, or how might this affect, the country's cow herd at large?
Well, what's been in the media recently, and a lot of it has been focused locally in Texas and Cameron County, where a temporary preventative quarantine area was created, and it was put in place by the Texas Animal Health Commission, and that was based on the finding of 6 separate premises within Cameron County where fever ticks were located. So this is really just affecting this quarantine blanket area. And again, the goal, what they do when they issue these, when they establish these, I'll just call them, refer to it as a blanket quarantine. Blanket meaning it surrounds every single one of these premises where fever ticks were located. And we basically put a 5-mile circle around that premises to where we inspect adjacent herds and any livestock within that 5-mile zone. So when you have all these large 5-mile circles put around each one of these 6 premises, then we come in there and draw a line following existing roads or fence lines and encompass, blanket that entire area. So it's fully under control as far as movement of any livestock more or less in or out of that zone. And at the same time, we conduct surveillance on wildlife as well, because they are also a key part of some of these outbreaks that we see in the free area of Texas. But really want to remind you that we've had these blanket quarantines established before in Texas, going back to the 70s. So this isn't a new thing. It does happen periodically in Texas, where we will see a few infested premises outside of our permanent quarantine zone along the river. And if it seems like a situation where we need to issue a blanket quarantine, we will do that. And the size of this one right now is around 222,000 acres. And just as an example, one of the blanket quarantines that was put into place back in 2008 in Maverick, Dimmitt, and part of Webb County, that encompassed over 600,000 acres. and we were able to treat, inspect, conduct surveillance, everything we need to do to what we call, what we refer to as releasing the blanket. So that blanket temporary quarantine was removed completely. All the animals were clean, and we eradicated the ticks from that area. So that is what we're working on right now in Cameron County, and that's what we expect to do to treat every animal, eliminate ticks, and then eventually in a year or two, hopefully be able to remove that blanket quarantine area. So as far as an effect on the rest of the nation's cattle herd, I don't really see any cause for alarm. And again, for this area in Cameron County, I believe the most recent cattle herd census put it at around 6,000 head of cattle. So we're not talking about a huge number of cattle as well in this particular area. So, and again, I wouldn't see any impact on cattle prices or any other issues nationally coming out of this temporary quarantine that we have in place in Cameron County. So
the country was declared babesiosis free in 1943. Am I right? And is that still the case?
Yes, sir. It was, we were officially declared free in 1943.
And I understand that babesiosis does exist in Mexico. Is that correct?
Correct. Mexico has established populations of both cattle fever tick species and both types of babesiosis. There's two different species of the parasite, and they have more or less all four of those species present in Mexico and right across the border, which is why we focus our federal activities on monitoring the border to apprehend stray Mexican livestock. And just as an example of how important this activity is for this program, going back maybe 20 years, the average is about 50% of the cattle that are apprehended that are crossing the river from Mexico are infested with cattle fever ticks. So we've remained diligent about monitoring the border because we know ticks are there right across the river. And when you think of the Rio Grande, it isn't a really big river. You can walk across certain parts. So it's very shallow. It's very easy for cattle to cross, and it's very easy for wildlife to swim across as well. So
knowing that, assuming that there are ticks south of the border, what is your degree of confidence in avoiding the spread of the ticks, or even, say, in the future, eradicating the tick from the United States?
Well, we work closely with our Mexican federal counterparts and also state counterparts as well. The state veterinarian in Texas, Dr. D. Ellis, has held a few meetings with animal health officials in the Mexican states of Tamaulipas, Nuevo León, and Coahuila. Those are the three states that border Texas, around where we have our permanent quarantine zone. And we do collaborate in trying to identify areas where there is a need to conduct further surveillance, or for Mexican officials to contact or even go on site and treat animals on the other side of the river where we may have possibly found fever ticks on stray cattle that had crossed into Texas. So it is an ongoing process of working with our Mexican counterparts to identify known areas of fever ticks. And at the same time, we do share some of the technology that we're working on here in the U.S. as far as anti-tick vaccines or other treatment options for cattle. And we do share that research and our findings and really our overall use of those products. We share those during meetings, binational meetings that are held twice a year, and other separate meetings as well. So what would be ideal is slowly moving the quarantine zone into Mexico, sort of by way of it. Well, similar to what we did with the screwworm fly, we're able to move it all the way down to Panama. It would be ideal to create a buffer zone, sort of what we refer to the permanent quarantine zone in Texas, but to have a buffer zone in Mexico as well. So that is something in the future we're still trying to establish that type of buffer zone. But other than that, in the United States, we have the APHIS cattle fever tick program officials in Texas who are very aggressive at identifying, conducting surveillance, inspecting livestock, and controlling movements of animals. So we have a real tight handle on it when it comes to that down along the border with Texas. So there are times when there may be illegal livestock movement where we find ticks in the outside of the permanent quarantine zone. There's situations to where we've identified free-ranging wildlife, white-tailed deer, red deer, other exotic deer species have crossed over into the free area of Texas and have more or less dropped fever ticks into pastures where there may be livestock. And then when those producers are moving their livestock, they're inspected and fever ticks are found in their premises and those animals are put under quarantine. So, I mean, it's a system that's been in place for a very long time. It's worked very well. And there are just a few occasions every few years to where we find a few infestations just to the outside, close to the permanent quarantine zone. But as far as finding fever ticks anywhere else in Texas, further north, or other states, that hasn't occurred. So I wouldn't consider that a threat to the rest of the United States. They're very diligent about controlling ticks in Texas. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the Nilgai situation. And there's a very large herd of exotic Nilgai antelope in Cameron County and also further north as well along the Gulf Coast. And with our current situation, Nilgai are part of the problem as far as dispersing ticks to other areas outside of our permanent quarantine zone. And a little history on the Nilgai. They were introduced to the United States back in the 1920s, really as zoo animals, and then they were released and held on hunting ranges. Slowly some of them got out, and now we have a huge population of free-ranging Nilgai, especially in Cameron County, and there's also a large population in Mexico right across the border. And state of Tamaulipas, but these antelope are a big problem because first off, they're more closely related to cattle than they are to, say, white-tailed deer, and fever ticks tend to thrive on Nilgai more so than they do on white-tailed deer, and they do travel long distances as well. Looking at maybe the bulls can travel up to maybe 5 miles, so they have a huge range. But they're a big concern right now. There's a huge free-ranging population, and right now we're currently conducting surveillance on Nilgai and harvesting some Nilgai on some of the Fish and Wildlife Service refuge properties in Cameron County. And our first surveillance / harvesting operation, we recovered 8 Nilgai, and 2 of those had cattle fever ticks. Our second operation, we harvested 50 nilgai and didn't find any fever ticks. And so we're continuing to keep an eye on the nilgai population. It's also important to note that they've thrived in Texas, and they are an exotic species, and they are considered a nuisance to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They do tear up a lot of vegetation. They outcompete the native white-tailed deer populations. They disregard fencing as well. It's a very large animal, and they are able to dig under fences and move further into other areas. So this is one of the issues that we're dealing with for this Cameron County blanket quarantine.